Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Believe in Ravens podcast. Daniel Wilcox, Matt Trigger. This is brought to you by BetOnline.ag, your number one most trusted sports and wagering site on the internet. You can find them at BetOnline_AG. Daniel, the point spread is ever climbing this weekend. It is at plus 20 for the Cleveland Browns. So in gambler's terms, the Ravens are giving the Browns a three touchdown spot in the Vegas, in the world of Vegas and gambling. So by all accounts, Vegas is expecting a blowout, so much so that they're spotting the Browns three touchdowns.
Man, that's crazy. I think I would take that bet all day. I think the Ravens are definitely going to win this game by more than three touchdowns. The only thing is, it's going to be kind of funny. I think if we jump up on them early and jump up on them by two or three touchdowns, they'll take Lamar out early, you know, and then
I believe so too.
Yeah. So if I'm a betting man, I would be kind of worried about that on the back end of it, you know. So if you're going to bet online and you're going to bet on this game, just kind of be cautious of that, because if we jump up on them in like three quarters, like if the first two quarters we jump out on them by 28 points, 28-0, most likely Lamar won't play that second half. And then there's a possibility they could definitely squeeze back in within 14 by the time the game's over with.
Absolutely. And before we go farther into the coverage and the people that may play, may not play, just so our viewers have a little bit of an idea of this show and our partnership, I've been doing this for 4 years now, and yesterday I made the post on Facebook, and tonight we're shooting. So Daniel was my second guest ever that I ever interviewed in a professional setting. He was at one of his Airbnbs and projects in Atlanta, and he did it over a FaceTime, Zoom type of situation. So 4 years ago, Daniel, you were my second guest ever, and here we are wrapping up our first season as co-hosts of the Believe in Ravens podcast. So it's been a nice little, you know, full circle moment I wanted to share with our listeners on the show before we got going. I wanted to say thank you again, but yeah, I appreciate you, man.
Hey, Matt, I appreciate you too, man. I kind of vaguely remember that interview. I remember doing maybe two or three interviews in my Airbnb. I can't remember if it was the one I did with you that had the Hank Aaron wall behind me.
It was the Hank Aaron wall.
Okay, you might have been the first one I think I ever did over at the Airbnb. Yeah, man, it's been a great year though, Matt. Like, to be honest with you, man, you know, before this thing started this year, I didn't really know who my co-host was going to be, and I went to Believe in the Ravens and I asked could Matt be my host, and they granted me the opportunity to have Matt come on, and it's been an absolute pleasure, man. It's been a great year this year. It's been probably one of the best seasons I've had doing the show. This is my third year doing the Believe in the Ravens podcast, and I kind of been wanting to do my own podcast for a while. And when this opportunity presented itself, I kind of jumped on it. And anytime I get a chance to represent the Ravens in any form, I want to represent it at the highest magnitude. So it was absolutely my pleasure, Matt, to get you on the show with me this year, man. It's been a great season, man. We've had a lot of ups. We've had a lot of downs. It's been a lot of fun things. We had some sad stuff happen, you know, the passing of Coach D and Jacoby Jones. Jacoby was a really good friend of mine, or at least I like to say he was. And we spent a little bit of time together, you know, in and out of Baltimore, man. And he was a fun guy, you know, so he passed away at the beginning of the season. That was probably one of the lowest moments for me this year. And I'm praying that the guys kick in gear the last half of this season. And go win this thing, man. You know, go win this whole thing, the whole Super Bowl and everything. You know, me and Matt was talking about Super Bowls and stuff earlier, and I think in the previous show or two shows prior to this, and we was talking about the Ravens have kind of done this thing every 12 years. And I was thinking the other day, I was like, man, it's kind of magical that Jacoby was number 12. You know, so 12 years, right. Second Super Bowl win, and this would be the next, you know, 2024. It'll be another 12 years since we won the last one in 2012. So if we won it this year, I think God has lined this entire season up, you know, to be a year to represent number 12, man. So Jacoby, if you're up there listening to your dog, we're going to keep putting your name out there and keep shedding love and shining love on you. Matt, I don't think I could have done this season with a better co-host, man. I really appreciate you. You've done great this entire season. Matt has went out of his way, everybody, just so you know, to try to get guests on every single week. And he's actually pushed me to help me, you know, to reach out to some of my former teammates. And, you know, for guys that's been retired in this league, you know, we all deal with some kind of mental, you know, mental battles and stuff like that. You know, retiring from the game, we miss the locker room, we miss being around our teammates, and that becomes family to us. You know, so when we leave, it becomes kind of hard to deal with, you know. So to be able to have so many of my former teammates on this year has been an absolute blessing for me. And Matt was happy to have him on. It wasn't no fight, no push, no, you know, no griping about it. He was excited. Every single one that came on, he was excited about him coming on. And that always makes me feel good for your co-host or your buddy or your partner, your friend, you know, to kind of feel the same way you feel, man. So it's been an absolute pleasure this year to have you on, Matt, to have you with me. Can't wait the next year. But right now, hey, we got to focus on this playoff.
Yes, sir. And I want to also, wanted to talk about the 12 real quick. The Ravens get a win on Sunday. That's win number 12.
Win number 12.
You better believe it. It's 12s all over the place. So,
all over the place.
You know, I made the proclamation before Christmas that we wouldn't lose another game until next season, and I'm still standing by it. Now, I wanted to bring up something, you know, it's not necessarily Ravens. I think that the Philadelphia Eagles have robbed the NFL fan base of potentially seeing Saquon Barkley break the NFL rushing record for a single season, because they inactivated Barkley last night. So he's not playing on this coming weekend. And it was like a kind of a fairy tale ending. He could have broke the record against his former team that didn't want to pay him. So Derrick Henry is 245 yards away from breaking the record himself.
Right.
He's not very far behind Saquon in rushing yards. He's ahead of him in rushing touchdowns, though. So,
yeah.
Do you believe that Derrick Henry will be playing long enough to possibly this weekend play long enough to possibly inch towards that when the Cleveland Browns are pretty much going to roll over and die on Saturday?
Absolutely not.
So you don't think that Derrick's got a couple of 80-yard runs in him that's going to get him sniffing Eric Dickerson's record?
No, I don't think it's going to happen at all. And plus, I mean, people have been talking about this record and stuff all year, and it's been kind of weird, you know, because to me, if you don't get it done within the first 16 weeks of the season, it's not the same. You know, like Eric Dickerson did it in 16 games, you know, so if you do it in 17, it's not breaking a record. It's just you're starting basically a new record, right?
You can say that, though, but at the same time, though, Daniel, Dickerson broke Jim Brown's record when Jim Brown did it in 14.
Well, it wasn't. I think it was OJ.
I'm sorry, OJ. Yeah, it was OJ.
Yeah, OJ did it in 14. But so as far as I'm concerned, I don't think Eric Dickerson ever broke OJ's record either. Eric Dickerson did it, I think, in 15 games. OJ did it in 14. Now we got 16. Nobody broke it in 16, and now you got 17 games. And how you gonna really, bro? I don't really. I think everything, like Eric Dickerson was saying, they got to have an asterisk by it. His should have an asterisk by it too. You know, so that's how I look at it. You know, it ain't the same to me. And times have changed. The thing that I can truly say, it's extremely hard in this league right now with all the offensive minds and all the defensive minds to be able to break a record of that magnitude in this type of society, in this type of league, especially in a league that's pretty much predominantly passed now. It's two-hand touch. Nobody's building their defenses like the Ravens and the Browns and the Steelers anymore, where they're trying to be run stop first. Everybody's trying to be pass. Everybody's pass happy, so they're trying to stop the pass right now. You know, so this is one of those things where it's kind of an anomaly. Like they're like everybody's preparing for the pass, and then you run the ball down everybody's throat when nobody's really expecting it, right?
Right.
And that's the same thing we're doing too.
Yeah, it is. It is quite special that Saquon and Derrick Henry are doing what they're doing in a predominantly pass happy league. And like you have drove this point home every single show. You only get 60 plays on offense a game, and you're given a third, almost half, to one man. And in this day and age where, you know, defensive tackles can run with wide receivers and defensive ends are faster than some tight ends. Mm-hmm. And Derrick Henry's still doing it, and so is Saquon, and that speaks volumes to the throwbacks that they are. You know, they would have thrived in your generation. They might have ran for 3,000 yards playing with the Ravens, you know, in 2005.
I'm so analytical though. Like, I'm the guy, I want to know exactly how many touches did OJ have when he got his, when he broke the record, when he had, when he set the record. I want to know how many touches Eric Dickerson had when he broke the record. Now I want to know how many touches did Saquon and Derrick Henry had this year to get to the yardage they have, because all that matters to me. And then I want to also know who else was on the team. What other running backs was on the team? Well, did they have a running quarterback like we got? Because we got a quarterback with almost 900 yards rushing right now, and a running back with 2,000 yards rushing. And that's crazy. Right. That's freaking crazy to me. You know, Lamar almost at 1,000 yards right now rushing, and then Derrick Henry is over 2,000 yards rushing. That's insane.
So right now I'm pulling up the all-time leading rushers. Mm-hmm. Dickerson, he ran for 2,105 yards, had 14 touchdowns, and he had 379 carries.
TDs, 379
carries. 379
carries,
2,105 and 14. He averaged 131 yards a game and 5.6 yards per carry. So that's him. Number two on the all-time list is Adrian Peterson. In 2012, he had 2,097 yards, and he had 348 carries with 12 touchdowns with a 6-yard average per run and 131.1. So he averaged a half yard less per game than Dickerson.
And how many total yards did he have? 2,000 what?
2,097. Yes. Gotcha. So then O.J. Simpson, when he broke the record, when he set the record in 1973, he played 14 games, had 332 carries for 2,003 yards, 12 touchdowns, 6 yards a carry, and he averaged 143.1 yards a game. Which to me, I think it's the highest average per game in the history of the NFL.
Right.
So,
how many games did AP play? 16.
16.
All right. What about ED?
He played, I believe he played 16 the year he broke it was 16.
Okay.
And then our boy Jamal. Jamal ran for 2066, had 14 touchdowns, 387 carries that year, played all 16 games. He averaged 129 yards a game and a 5.3 yard per carry average.
Mm-hmm.
So
387 carries. That's a hell of a lot more carries. Hell, that's about what, 9 more than Eric Dickerson had. Eric Dickerson had 379 carries.
Correct. And then Barry Sanders did, he eclipsed 2,053 yards with 335 carries, and he had 11 touchdowns, averaged 128 per game. So with your analytical mindset, you're seeing that all these guys are over 330 carries, and they're all averaging over they're all averaging anywhere from 5 to 6 yards per carry, and they're all averaging over 125 a game. Mm-hmm. So for most of those seasons, that's impressive. But doing it in this day and age where most quarterbacks want to throw the ball 30 to 40 times is amazing.
Right. Really, what does Saquon have right now?
Right now, Saquon has 2,005 yards.
2,005. How many?
He has 2,005 yards, and he has 13 rushing touchdowns on 345
rushes. 345
rushes.
And OJ had 332 rushes.
And had about 70 more yards.
It's crazy. And OJ only did it in 14 games. Think about that.
OJ was averaging near 150. He was at 148.
Now I think the next thing to do is to take the games and then divide how many games they played into the amount of touches they had that year to see how many touches they averaged per game. roughly. You know what I'm saying? And then that would kind of give you one more stat that would kind of have you really sit there thinking hard about, like, dang, OJ was different. You know what I'm saying? Like, OJ was different. Like, he averaged, 32 carries a game, or 36 carries a game for 14 games, you know, versus some of these guys. Like, you look at our guy, Derek, you know, Harbaugh told you straight up, he didn't bring Derek here to get 30 touches. Most of his, I think he only got seven games with over 20 touches this year.
And he's still
in the conversation.
Eric Dickerson averaged 24 carries a game in his record setting season. He averaged 24.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at that, Adrian Peterson, who's the second all time.
Yep.
You know,
348 divided by 16.
That's 21, almost 22 carries a game.
Mm-hmm.
So, what about OJ? OJ?
Yeah, OJ.
Okay.
Since he holds the record.
OJ, in Daniel Wilcox's eyes, he holds the record. So, 2000.
He did it in 14 games, bro. That shit is crazy. Just think about that. 2,003 yards in 14 games.
He averaged 24 carries a game.
24 carries a game.
24 carries a game.
I'm rocking with OJ. What about my boy Derrick Henry got right now? What does he have?
Derrick Henry's current rushing total. Right now, Derek has 305 rushes for 1,783 yards. 1,783 yards.
83 yards.
305 carries divided by 16 games so far. And that gives us 19 carries a game. So he's not even averaging 20 carries a game.
That's crazy.
But on average, if you look at how many plays the Ravens have on average, there's been games where we have 50 plays. And there's been games where we've had 70 plays. So Derrick Henry accounts for literally one third of the Ravens offense every single week.
And still almost had 2,000 yards this year.
And he was a couple of games where they sold out to really stop him. They sold out a lot of games to stop that man. So, it's interesting to see what they're going to do on Saturday, Daniel, because, you know, I know they want that home game. So winning is important, but I think they're going to go full throttle until, like you said, they have that two or three touchdown lead. And then you're going to start seeing a lot of the backups come in. I don't think you can afford to sit Lamar for the whole game. I think you'll probably see Josh Johnson in the middle of the third quarter, depending on the score.
Now, hear me out, Matt. Hear me out. I got to say this right quick because this bothers me. Like, every year we sit guys out, and then we lose the first round or the second round of the playoffs. We don't really get deep. Last year was the first time we got, you know, to the championship game, and we took that L. You know, I feel like when you sit guys out, you throw off the rhythm of what they've already had. Like, playing those three games back-to-back-to-back the way we did, like, you in straight football mode, grind mode, whatever I got to do, and then all of a sudden you take, like, 11 days off like we're going into this Brown game. And then you come back, and it's almost like having a bye week, and you're not as gangster or as tough or as edgy as you was before you took that break. You know, the break almost softens you a little bit. So the first round bye, I have felt like the last 3 or 4 years have actually hurt us. You know, so I don't want the first round bye. I want to play.
We're not going to touch it. You know, that's Kansas City this year.
Right. Yeah, I don't want that at all. I feel like that first round bye is a setup for failure. You know, it's one thing when you know who you're going to play. It's another thing when you don't have a clue. And I could be a betting man. I could say most teams, they could go look at the two teams. Oh, it's hands down. We're going to be playing these guys. And they kind of prepare more for those guys that week mentally in their mind. Even though the coaches are not telling the players that, they put in those plays like they're going to play that team. If that team that don't think is going to win wins, then it's almost a fair game.
And the way the playoffs are shaking out right now, you know, there's not really a whole lot that changes. Now, if we lose and the Steelers win, I believe they win the AFC North and we go on the road.
Yeah.
But we're almost guaranteed to play either Pittsburgh or the Los Angeles Chargers the way it's shaken out.
Yeah.
So there's that. I mean, I think there's a slight outside chance we play the Houston Texans again.
Yeah.
And, you know, but for the most part, for most scenarios I've seen is either Los Angeles or Pittsburgh. And we've, you know, we split the series this year with Pittsburgh and we handled Los Angeles pretty well.
Yeah.
Me personally, I wanted a home game, not for the fact that I want to go, but more for the fact that I think that playing at home and getting that win under our belt is going to kind of prep us, because the road to the Super Bowl is going to go through either Buffalo or KC.
Absolutely.
So unless KC has a complete misstep, we're going to Arrowhead for the AFC Championship game.
I feel like we're going to be there. I feel hands down that's what we're going to be. It's going to be a replay of what happened last year.
Right. You know, I believe in my bones. I believe in my soul. Buffalo can't touch us. I don't care how good that dude is playing up there. I don't even want to say his name on this show. But
three times he might come up. He might pop up.
He might. But the thing is, we're going to show him again.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, handle our business the way we always do. And we got a lot to prove this year. That last year, you know, wasn't a fluke, and that we're still a very good football team. We're winning a lot of games. We strung together a really good 3-game stretch in 11 days. Like you said, it hardened us, and hopefully we don't go in there and you know, lay an egg and produce a dud type of game.
Yeah.
They got to keep the intensity up, and I agree with you. Play the starters until you see no point in doing so.
Yeah,
if that I means would. Playing them into the fourth quarter and Josh Johnson gets the last two or three series, but at that point you need to be up like 40-10.
Yeah,
I'm going to see like a 40 burger if you're going to put the backups in.
I love that. I love that. I feel like going into the playoffs hot, like rolling over people. Like we had three wins back to back to back. We're hot right now. To get this fourth win would be huge going against Cleveland, and to do it convincingly, like a straight up at like the Bills game early in the season, that was a straight up ass whooping. Yeah, yep. Like to do it like that is the only way to do it, and that's the only way I will be preparing. And from that point on, I'm preparing to whoop everybody's ass accordingly as they step foot on the field against us. And the only way we can do this thing and do it effectively is we set the tone every single week. We cannot get relaxed and get comfortable and with feeling ourselves because we won a couple of games and start to think that we're hot shit again. We have to be aggressive. If we come out there and we out aggressive, we on the attack, we're not kind of pacing the game and then the game come
You're
to
right.
us. Yeah, we got to take it to everybody we play. Like whoever play us, we got to take it to their ass, and we got to take it to them first. We got to beat up on their DBs. We got to beat up on their receivers. We got to beat up on everybody. We have to play physical, and we have to play aggressive. If we're going to get penalties, make those penalties count.
Yeah, the thing is, this defense has been the best defense in the last six games in the entire league, I believe, if not top three.
Yeah.
But
I think you're right. I think it's been top one.
Yeah. So to me personally, Daniel, is if you're gonna go into the postseason with this type of defense, and you got everybody balling out for you, you got everybody ready to step in and do their job, and this is another one of those situations where this might be the only year this team looks like this. The team looks different from last year, and that's the challenging aspect of being a fantastic football team, is your guys are going to go elsewhere and get paid. We lost Jadeveon Clowney. He went and got paid after the 11 sack year. You know, we lost Geno Stone after the 7 interception year. We lost Patrick Queen after an all pro year, you know, so we had to replace those guys. And now this year is the same situation. You can't look too far into the future, but this team feels like a team of destiny, and I don't want to put that immense type of pressure on them, but things are just coming together. And to be honest, in the beginning, in the offseason when we signed Derrick Henry, that felt like a Bisciotti and a DaCosta move more than a Harbaugh move, because for the last couple of years, we were winning with JK, with Gus, with Lamar running the ball heavily. And now you got a Hall of Fame running back who found the fountain of youth at the age of 30. And this is what you brought him here for. This is where you give the ball to Derrick Henry 25 times a game, and you say, go wear their asses out.
Yeah.
And we'll handle the rest on play action and bootleg and misdirection type of shit. But this is where you let Derrick Henry run wild.
I think the only way you do that though, Matt, is if you've already understood exactly who your identity is. You can't go into this questioning what your identity is at this point. You have to know exactly what you have to do to win. And that's what you hired Daniel and those guys for, you know, the analytic guys that's in the building. Those guys are phenomenal. Let them do their damn job. You know, they'll tell you exactly how many times, you know, Derrick Henry has gotten the ball on every single win and how many times he gotten it on every single loss. And then, hell, you do the math as an OC. You figure out what your scheme is and what how to go about this thing. And we have to feed this dude. We have to feed him. We have to let him go beat the hell up on people. And then you got to figure out how many times you're going to bring your number two punch in, your Justice Hill in, so he can kind of use that twitchiness and that fastness, your Keaton Mitchells, to kind of use their speed to just pull away from guys after they get beat up and banged up, right? So I'm with you, man. I'm with you 100%. Get that man a damn rock.
And I believe that this is going to be another heavy Keaton Mitchell game. Justice Hill still isn't cleared to practice yet. Harbaugh said he doesn't have any more concussion symptoms, but he's been really sick. So if Hill plays, it's like a game time decision type of thing. But we're 2 days out from the game. And honestly, I'd rather have a healthy Justice Hill for the first week of the playoffs as opposed to week 18 against the Browns. Let Keaton get his legs under him again and give him the ball 10, 15 times like they did last week, which is what it felt like they did towards the end of the game. But this is like you said, it's all about identity with this team. And if Harbaugh goes into the playoffs coaching the way that he's coached the last month to month and a half, this is going to be a dangerous football team. We have been locked in since that Eagles loss.
Yeah.
We steamrolled two really good football teams and we steamrolled a really bad football team, which is what you're supposed to do anyway. But
100%, yeah.
You know, this is an opportunity for the taking. The Pittsburgh Steelers are absolutely falling apart right now. Their quarterback hasn't thrown for more than 215 yards in a month. Their running game is falling apart. Their defense is falling apart with injuries and lack of production. Their defense has pretty much called out Patrick Queen for his subpar play.
Yeah.
Openly. So things are not okay up there. Cincinnati's not going to get in the playoffs. Now, this is one of those situations. You've already beat Los Angeles. You can do it again. You've already beat Pittsburgh. You can do it again.
100%.
You know, so now this is where you impose your will. John Harbaugh has imposed this team's will on everybody they've come across the entire month of December. And it's been ass whoopings behind the woodshed every single time. and that's where this is the time of year you want to do that. There's no question what this team's identity is. They are a run first, pass when necessary, and they're going to kill you while they do it. Because Lamar Jackson can make every single throw on the football field.
Yeah.
There's no longer, oh, his deep ball isn't like that. Or, oh, he can't make the throws outside the numbers. The dude can do everything. Everything on the football field. There's nothing that a man can't do. And I listen to a lot of what the Ravens Nation says on social media, on the radio, on TV. I don't care if Lamar Jackson never wins another MVP. I want to see this man holding a Lombardi trophy.
Yeah.
You know, that's what defines his legacy to me. You and I talked about this last time we were on the show. He's already a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
You give him that Lombardi trophy, he's a first ballot Hall of Fame lock.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Matt.
You know, so to me, this is the season he cements his legacy to me. The doubters are still swirling. A lot of the 3 and 4 letter networks are still trying to, you know, prop up this Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen MVP race. When in all honesty, the MVP should be Saquon Barkley far and away. I hate that they don't give MVP to running backs. or another position. It's always a quarterback. And I don't care if Lamar doesn't win it, but I want Lamar to be holding that Lombardi. I want him to be standing on that stage with his grills smiling ear to ear, holding up the Lombardi in purple and gold confetti, just like Ray Lewis did, just like Joe Flacco did, just like Ed and the guys did. That's what I want to see for Lamar Jackson. This is his legacy year to me. He's in year seven. He's a complete quarterback now. There's no doubt about what this man can do on a football field. And this is where he takes a business, takes care of business. To me, you can't get any better than what he's playing right now. He's playing better than his two MVP seasons, efficiency wise and production wise. So to me, it's all a matter of who he has to steamroll to get there. Because I don't think he fears anybody in the NFC right now. We get Philadelphia again, we're going to beat them. Yeah. I don't care what anybody says. That was the only game this year where we got our asses handed to us on a physical football level. And you said that after the game. That's the only team this year, it's the only loss we have where we didn't beat ourselves, where they actually handily beat us.
Yeah, I don't think we played smart that game at all.
We didn't play smart, but they matched us physicality-wise and punched us right in the mouth from the jump.
Yep,
so if the competitor in me wants Philadelphia in the Super Bowl, but you know they got to get there first. I personally think that it's them or the Vikings, but that's just me. But I think they're gonna beat the Vikings.
I don't think the Vikings will beat them.
That's for another show. But you know, I truly believe that we take care of business Sunday or Saturday. Yep. We get these guys healthy. We get the mind frame right. As long as Harbaugh coaches his game and doesn't try to outwit the guys that are standing across the sideline from him.
Yeah.
I don't care if Andy Reid does what Andy Reid does. As long as Harbaugh doesn't try to match that shit and try to be cuter than what he thinks he is, we're going to win and we're going to beat them. I don't care what anybody says. We're going to beat them.
Yeah.
We're going to do it in convincing fashion. And we're going to go to New Orleans and win our second Super Bowl there in a decade and a half. There's too many things lining up.
Yeah, Jacoby's we just got to coach number, smarter. We got to coach smarter.
We got to coach smarter, but everything's lining up. 12 wins for Jacoby, 12. 12 years season. Since our last Super Bowl, mm-hmm. you know. And I truly believe that this is our year right here. And I'm not just saying that because we're doing this show and I'm a diehard and you're a diehard. This is the year that people think we're not going to do it, that we're going to do it. Everybody expected us to win it last year, and we had our hearts broken. This is the year that they mend that broken heart. I fully expect to be sitting in the stands for a third Super Bowl parade in about a month.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I'm with you 100%.
To wrap up our show, I know that we always do the offensive and defensive MVP selections for the game and then the score prediction. So what do you think the predictions for the week are going to be?
I think the score is going to probably end up being Ravens 42, Browns. I'm going to say 7.
Okay.
Ravens 42, Browns 7. I think it's going to be a very lopsided game this week. I was just looking at the Browns games from the last 3 weeks. They haven't scored more than 7 points. It was 3 last week, 6 the week before, 7 the week before that with 3 L's. So they're not really high on themselves right now. I think they're right. Falling apart at the wheels too. I think on our team, our defensive MVP this week, you know, I was digging up the Washington kid, man. I like him a lot. I think he's playing really, really hard. He's playing really great, man. I love this energy. I'm going to go with Kyle Hamilton, I think, this week. I think Kyle's going to have a big week. I was happy to see him get his first pick last week. And then offensively, I'm going to go with – it's going to be tough. Offensively, I'm going to roll with the tight ends. I'm going to go with Mark Andrews. I think he's going to have another big game against the Browns. He always kills them. He's a Browns killer. So I'm going to roll with Mark. Mark on offense, Kyle Hamilton on defense, Ravens 42, Browns 7. What you got?
Okay. My score prediction will be 40-9.
49.
I don't think they score a touchdown against us. I think they kick 3 field goals. 40-9. That is our second anomaly score in a row, is that 31-2 is absolutely crazy to me. I'm going with that on defense. This right here, to me, is an Ardarius Washington game. I know you picked him last week. I'm going to pick him this week. I think that he goes out there and he makes either another, you know, bone jarring, fumble causing hit or a turnover, or he gets a pick and takes it to the house. That's just my gut feeling. Okay. Offensively, I'm going Rashad Bateman. I think Bate has another, he has another three catch, two touchdown kind of day where he has like 70 or 80 yards on three catches, two of them in the end zone. So I'm gonna give Bate his flowers for the week. And before we wrap this show again, though, I know we just did our predictions. The Pro Bowl voting ended, and today all the Pro Bowlers were announced, and the Ravens
got his first one.
The Ravens had 9 starters voted: Lamar, Linderbaum, Henry, Flowers, Madubuike, Roquan, Kyle Hamilton, Pat Ricard, Marlon Humphrey. And then Mark Andrews, Daniel Fa'alele, Ronnie Stanley, Chris Board, Kyle Van Noy, Justin Tucker, and Nick Moore were all named as alternates. So altogether, the Ravens had nearly 20 Pro Bowl selections between starters and alternates.
It's crazy.
Our fans went to the boxes.
Yeah, and 5 of those starters are on offense. That's crazy.
Yeah. I know, you know, they stuffed the ballot box when Justin Tucker made the Pro Bowl as an alternate. The man's had the worst statistical season of his career.
He's
had the worst year of his career so far. And this dude made the Pro Bowl as an alternate.
That lets you know like how bad their other kickers in the league are.
Yeah. How much our fan base still loves Tuck. But Daniel, that'll do it for the last regular season preview show of 2024 on the Believe in Ravens podcast, brought to you by BetOnline.ag. We will be back with our final regular season post-game recap over the weekend after the Ravens game, either on Saturday or Sunday. We will post on social media to let you guys know. And that'll do it from the crew here. Happy New Year to everybody. Hopefully everybody was out and had a nice time and was very safe on the roads. We will see y'all this weekend. And that is a wrap.
Good night, everybody. Bird Gang.